Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks, some combo breaker 99. Back with another episode with y'all. You know, just a couple women's MMA topics I want to speak on. First up, you know, we got next month, we got another Invicta FC card coming up. We got Invicta FC 42. So I just want to go down that list of fights and, you know, give y'all some details on what's going down with Invicta on September 17th. You know, who's fighting and what weight classes we got. And next up, another interesting topic, you know, that a lot of people, they've been having mixed feelings on. Paige VanZant, you know, since she left the UFC, they thought she would go to Bellator, but instead she chose to sign a multi-fight deal with BKFC, Bare Knuckle Boxing Fighting Championship organization. So, yeah, I want to give you my thoughts on that as well. Also, you know, we got fights coming up this weekend. Felice Herrig versus Verna Jindyarova and Livia Renata Sousa versus Ashley Yoder. Also, Cynthia Calvillo versus Lauren Murphy. That fight's going to be coming up. I just got to make sure I got the right date for it. I think they're going for, like November, but, you know, I'll pull that up here in a minute. And yeah, just a couple other topics, you know, that just pop up that I wanted to speak on. But yeah, first up, man, Invicta FC 42 is going down. September 17th. And yeah, Invicta's been staying pretty consistent with the cards, you know, had two in July, and now they're going to put together another one in September. And like I said, one of the things I like about Invicta, you know, you got different levels of fighters. You got the former UFC fighters, you got the top level fighters in Invicta, you got fighters making their pro debut. So it's different levels to it. You know, it's just like some boxing cards, you know, guys make their pro debut all the way up to, you know, the main event, which is the champion. So it's a good organization for a lot of the women that's on to come up, you know, got Adam Waits, you got every division versus like some like Bellator, you know, Bellator doesn't have a bantamweight division. So as far as I know, you know, so they mainly focus like on the flyweight division, but you know, with Invicta, you got all kinds of organizations. I mean, you got all types of divisions. You know, you got all the divisions there. You got the atom weights, straw weights, fly weights, feather weights, whatever. You know, so that's what makes it more interesting for me. You got those different weight classes. But coming up this 17th in September, we got six fights going down in all these different weight classes. So far, this is the card we got right here. It hasn't changed yet, but we've got a straw weight fight between Jennifer Chang versus Flora Haney. Also returning on the card is Autumn Norton versus Brittany Cloudy. Shout out to Brittany Cloudy. You know, I've talked to her, interviewed her. You know, she's going to be making her return to Invicta. She signed a contract with them for, I think, a couple fights, but I might have to ask her to make sure, but I think it's for multi-fights. Victoria Leonardo versus Liz Tracy, flyweight division. In the strawweights, we got Jessica Del Boni versus Erica Tibercio. She's also making a return. You know, she's been away after she had a baby, I think for like 3 years, you know, so she's been out of there for a while, just like Toya Walker. So she's going to make her comeback. Bantamweight fight, Lisa Versosa versus Raquel Canuto, and the title fight, Ashley Cummins versus Alicia Zapatella. Shout out to Chelsea Chandler. You know, I was asking her, you know, did they try to put her on this card, but she wants to stay active, put her on the card. You know, she puts a good, exciting fight on. So, you know, I definitely would have liked to seen her fight up here, you know, either at featherweight or bantamweight. You know, she's down to fight either one. But, yeah, that's the card that's coming up. You know, in case somebody tests positive for COVID-19, then, you know, other than that, that's the list for right now. I know the last card out, I think there was a couple positive tests. So, you know, again, you know, like I always say in my videos and shows, this is just going to be another norm. But yeah, that's the card that's coming up. It's definitely something you got to check out. Like if you haven't really checked out Invicta on UFC Fight Pass, it's always worth watching. This card is on UFC Fight Pass at 7 p.m. Central Time. So I think that's like 8 o'clock my time on a Thursday. And yeah, that one's going down, man. But next up, man, this other topic, you know, this is a quick one. I just wanted to give you my quick thoughts on this, man. Looking at, I just saw, you know, on Instagram a few days ago where Paige was saying she had some good news. And I already heard the rumors that she was going to be signing to either Bellator. Then somebody said, oh, she might be signing to the Bare Knuckle Boxing Organization. That's what somebody told me. So I was like, what? And then she posted that contract. You know, it wasn't like the full announcement yet. Then sure enough, next day it was like Paige signing to the BKFC. And it's for like a multi-fight deal, you know. And from what I've been hearing, you know, this Bare Knuckle Boxing Organization, you know, they got money. You know, for organization that's not really like out there as popular as the UFC or just like boxing in general, they say they got money, you know, because you got to remember, even before they offered this contract to Van Zandt, there were rumors of Mike Tyson making his return and him being offered like $20 to $21 million. So they're an organization that are just trying to sign stars and make big shows out there, you know, so I could kind of see why Paige is signing, you know, depending on what they offer. You know, I think it's for like a 3 or 4 fight deal, you know. So with that being said, as far as, you know, her making this transition, I guess it was just kind of like it wasn't the same as what Bellator was offering. So she just decided to go with them looking at the numbers, you know. But my thoughts on Paige going to the Bare Knuckle Boxing, man, you know, it's no joke. You know, it's one thing if she would have signed to boxing, then let's say I would have been like, oh, okay, she wants to be a boxer now. You know, I would feel a little bit more safer, you know, even more so than going to Bellator. But Bare Knuckle Boxing is a dangerous sport. You know, it's no joke. You've seen some of these other fighters in the past, you know, just take some of the hardest hits here, you know, damage to the, I'm not even talking about this organization, but I just seen some people get blinded, you know, damage to the eyes, damage to their knuckles, of course, their jaw, their brain. And Paige Van Zandt was never really a fighter that was just solid as far as her striking. It was never something like where she was just technically sound, where I would say, okay, Paige, you know, she can do something with her hands, you know, like, you know, even in, let's say if she was in some of these past UFC fights where you just say, okay, she lost, but I saw something with the hands, you know, her striking is on point. You know, I say if she was just a boxer, she would make it, but I've never seen that in her. You know, I've seen her work on different things in the octagon and, you know, come away with wins, but even in her losses, it's just like, there's a lot of minor adjustments that she was never able to make, you know? And now when I look at her going to Bare Knuckle Boxing, I'm like, she just doesn't have the hands for it. You know, I don't think she just has the hands for this style of fighting. You know, Beck Rollins, this was actually better for her. You know, when I used to see her in the UFC and in Invicta, I say, this girl had nice hands. She likes to brawl. She likes to throw down. Her takedown defense wasn't that good. Her wrestling wasn't that good. So if she wanted to make a transition to just professional boxing or women's boxing or go to Bare Knuckle Boxing, that was definitely a benefit for her. You know, she's that type of fighter. You know, she's tough and she likes to get into a scrap. So that more so benefited somebody like Beck Rollins. But Paige, there was never really a part of her that I said would benefit off of fighting in Bare Knuckle Boxing. But her main thing about it too was saying that, you know, she wanted to prove that she's more than a pretty face. But she just, it's like, you're forgetting that pretty face is what's making you money. And it's making you money in more ventures outside of combat sports. And it's always something she's mentioned and boasted about. I won't really say she boasted or bragged, but, you know, she always made it known on her Instagram and in interviews that she was making more money doing Instagram promotions and things like that than she was off of UFC. You know, she made more money off Dancing with the Stars, like one episode, than she did in all of her fights combined. You know, so when you start talking like that, it more so sounds like your heart is not really in the fighting. You know that your money and your income and everything that's setting you up for retirement is coming outside of fighting. So why would you really want to put that in jeopardy, especially whenever your body and your face or how you make your money? You know, you're constantly posting pictures on Instagram as far as, you know, being a look for the different things you're promoting, or, you know, just being a look for yourself or being a look for a show that you're going to be on. You know, your face is bringing in that money. So it's kind of it's almost like contradicting yourself when you say you want to be more than just a pretty face, but then you promote yourself with your face, but then you go to an organization like bare knuckle boxing that could change that face, you know, that, and that's dangerous. So I feel like you just need to find that line and just come down to acceptance of saying, okay, this is me. I am that pretty girl that can, you know, cross over and promote and do these other things. I had my run at the fighting. I had my run at combat sports, and I wasn't as good as I could have been. You know, of course I had the heart and I was tough, but I just didn't have the IQ to push myself to the levels of like Rose Namajunas or Joanna. So I am just going to stay in this lane now. Like if she wanted to stay into some combat sports related, as far as like owning the gym or just coming out with, you know, some workouts for other fighters, or if she wanted to train, that's a different story. You know, if she wanted to do that, that's fine. But like actually going into an organization like, you know, bare knuckle boxing, you know, that's even more risk than just going to Bellator now at this point, you know, because like I said, bare knuckle boxing, when you look at it in a technical standpoint, it's not the same as boxing. That's why they're separate. That's why a lot of boxers don't bare knuckle box. You know, you saw Paulie go in there against Artem Lobov, and you see it was a totally different story. You know, Paulie has no power at all. You know, he's a feather fisted guy anyway. So he went in there trying to bare knuckle box. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, okay, good luck. You know, so for somebody that doesn't really throw hands in the best technical way possible for Paige, then, you know, she's really setting herself up for defeat here, you know, and a lot of damage. You know, you got to remember the gloves they wear in MMA. Of course, they are close to the knuckles and they got a good feel of how striking is, but bare knuckle boxing is no gloves and it's throwing punches like a boxer. You know, striking is different than professional boxers, but then once you take the gloves off and then you're fighting bare knuckle and boxing, you're actually turning your punches over. So you're mixing MMA gloves in a way with regular boxing, you know what I mean? But at the same time, no gloves. So you're really going to be getting the feel of how hard these boxers throw their punches and turn shots over, you know, and you ain't got no kicks to save you. You know, you ain't got no grappling to save you. This is just straight up hard knuckles, you know, to face. So Paige has to think of all of that. You know, I've seen some of these women throw down in bare knuckle boxing. You know, I've seen Beck Rollins do it. And, you know, it can be a little stomach turning just by saying, oh, man, like, you know, it's like seeing the fist fight out in the street. You'd be like, damn, they're taking some hard shots out here, you know. So for somebody like Paige that, again, wasn't the best technically sound boxer or striker, you gotta kind of wonder how she's going to be able to handle this type of power and these type of, you know, knuckles on face impact. So my thoughts on it, really, like I said, I don't think that she should be doing it. You know, somebody asked me the other day and I was like, yeah, I don't think she should be signing this deal. Like, she would have been better off signing with Bellator, but signing this deal with bare knuckle box, it's dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. You know, you could lose, like I said, you could lose an eye, lose your teeth, and then you're going to lose your image and you're going to lose your money maker. And I think that's just the problem, like with Paige. You know, she has such a big warrior's heart and this toughness in her that she constantly wants to prove herself. But there comes a time when you just got to say, hey, I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody else. I'd be like, this is me. I am this pretty girl. That's why she got the body work done. You know, that's why she's always showing us up, because it's like, this is what makes my money. But what are you going to do whenever you get that damage in bare knuckle boxing? You know, so when it's all said and done, you just got to come down to finding that line and what works for you, not proving nothing to anybody else. Because even that statement where she's saying she's trying to prove that she's more than a pretty face, who are you trying to prove that to? Everybody else or yourself? I mean, if you already know that you're a pretty person inside and out, you can look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, okay, I'm good. I can accept myself. You know, you don't have to go out there and say, I got to prove something to all these people that, hey, I'm more than this booty shaker or whatever it is, a girl that shows cleavage. Nah, man, like if that is part of your image, that's part of your image, and that makes you money. So just accept that. But if she does, like I said, she's already signed, you know, and then when these fights come up, if she's seeking fights, hey, if she want to fight, I'd like to see her have it in a bare knuckle rematch with Beck Rollins. You know, that's going to be her, I won't say it's going to be her first fight. You know, she probably has like, what, 3 or 4 fights. So she's probably going to, you know, take a couple of tune-up fights. And then after that, maybe set up a fight with the champion and Beck Rollins, because I know Beck Rollins would take this fight. And, you know, like I said, that would probably be a good rematch, you know, just to see how Paige VanZant can handle that. You know, like I said, there's not going to be a head kick to save her. You know, there ain't going to be a head kick to save her in this one, you know, and I got to favor Beck Rollins in this one because, you know, she likes, you know, she's a glutton for punishment. You know, she likes to go in there, throw hands and take a shot. You know, she showed her hands after a fight, how they looked, and I was just like, damn, you know. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that, though, as far as it goes for Paige. I'm not really like an all-out fan of bare-knuckle boxing. Like, I'll look at it, you know, every now and then. But like I said, for somebody like Paige that's just making so much money outside of combat sports, she really just needs to stay away from fighting at this point. You know, especially whenever your last fight out in the UFC wasn't a win. It wasn't like a farewell win. It was just like you having to leave because you faced another defeat. But yeah, man, let me know in the comment section what you guys think about that, you know, about her taking this this contract with bare knuckle boxing. But yeah, man, moving on, fights this weekend real quick. I'll just go back over them. I mean, I did my predictions on them. Felice Herrig versus Verna Jindrooba and Ashley Yoder versus Livia Renata Souza. First off, I have to say, you know, for Felice, you know, I got to say shout out to Felice. You know, she's not taking an easy fight on her way back in. You know, of course, there is no easy fight right now in the strawweight division. Every fight is hard. So if you think about it, this is a good level to test yourself after being out, what, 2 years? You know, but at the same time, I was like, yo, this is going to be a dangerous fight for her. You know, I know that Verna Jindrooba hasn't fought too many elite UFC fighters yet, you know, and then when she did step up against Carla Esparza, she lost. But I think that going into this one, she could definitely make this a tough fight and definitely come away with the win over Felice Herrig. You know, I know Felice Herrig is coming in after a torn ACL, so we're really going to see if she's going to be able to use her stand-up like she has in the past. Is she going to be able to use her Muay Thai style to kind of nullify the grappling of Verna Jindrooba? But, yeah, Verna Jindrooba is more on a momentum thing right now. You know, I feel like her momentum and her strength is really going to push her through in this fight and really help her. But with Felice Herrig, you know, of course, like I said, she's worked with, you know, she's with her, you know, she's friends with Carla Esparza. So she's constantly being with her. She's definitely going to get pointers on how to beat Verna Jindrooba. You know, that's her close friend. So, you know, she's definitely going to fill her in on how to beat her. But yeah, like I said, I did my prediction. I'm going to have to go with Verna Jindrooba in that fight. I think it's going to be a close one, but I think that, you know, like I said, she's going to be the fresher of the two and she's going to be able to come away with the win. Ashley Yoder versus Livia Renata Souza. Yeah, that fight too, I think it's a good strawweight fight. You know, it's two good scrappy young women in the strawweight division. Like I said, they're both tough, never been stopped or submitted. I think that Ashley Yoder, you know, she's a growing fighter where she kind of picks up things in a fight and she gets better and better in each fight. But at the same time, she makes little adjustments here and there, but sometimes it's too late in a fight where I think that Livia Renata Souza, she's more so technically sound. You know, she's more so technically sound with her hands and her feet to really get her through a fight. And she's tough, you know. So I think her toughness versus how Ashley Yoder brings her toughness in, you know, they both kind of bring it in different ways. You know, like she's a Brazilian gangster. And then you got Ashley Yoder, the type of girl that says that statement, like, you know, just by her movements, like, oh, you think I'm just a pretty face? Well, I'm coming to kick your ass, you know. That's going to bring like a good type of energy in this fight, you know? So I think early on Ashley Yoder, she's going to have some success, you know, like I said, she can make adjustments here and there in a fight, but I think that Livia Renata Souza, when she gets it to the ground, she's going to more so rough Ashley Yoder up and take this fight to the third round. Like I said, I don't really see anybody getting stopped in this one because I know they're both kind of slippery and they both had to get out of harm's way on the ground. And they both have good chins. You know, I think they both have good chins. Ashley Yoder took some bombs from Mackenzie Dern and stayed in the fight. So she definitely got the heart to stay into it. So yeah, I go with Livia Renata Souza in this one. I think it's going to be close though. Let me know in the comment section what y'all think. I think y'all already, you know, told me a little bit in the prediction videos for those I made. But yeah, moving on, Cynthia Calvillo versus Lauren Murphy. This fight is still in the works for UFC 254. And I think that's going to be on the, yeah, it's going to be on the October 24th card. First of all, I got to say, I like this flyweight fight. You know, I like this one because a lot of people were talking about Cynthia Calvillo after she beat and dominated Jessica Eye that the title shot would be next for her. And me, honestly, I'm like, no, not yet. You know, I'm just, that's my honest opinion. I was like, no, Cynthia Calvillo just got here. You know, she just made a statement with a win in her flyweight debut over Jessica Eye. So there's no need to rush a title shot yet. You know, let's stay in the division and get a little better and go in there against another veteran in Lauren Murphy. I think it's going to be a good matchup because you got Lauren Murphy, who is a very strong, very big flyweight. You know, I think she's a very scrappy flyweight too. You know, she has good hands and very solid takedown defense as well. And then you got Cynthia Calvillo on the other side, another tough, scrappy fighter who can take it to the ground and beat you up. But she's also got some technically sound skills as a boxer and an ability to adapt to whatever her opponent brings. And that's what's kind of made her special as a growing fighter. Like, I don't feel like we saw her best at strawweight, you know, which I really did want to see her fights like Jessica Andrade and Tatiana Suarez. But, you know, I guess, you know, making the weight was trouble. So she did the next best thing and moved up to flyweight in a division where there's a lot of tough ladies. And then you got a good champion, you know, to really test yourself again. So I think Cynthia Calvillo versus Lauren Murphy, this is a fight I'm going to have to do like a separate breakdown video on. But just overall, looking at it from the outside right now, as far as it being in the works, I think it's a good matchup because, you know, Lauren Murphy, her last time out, she was able to just dominate and shut out Roxanne Modafferi, who really messed up her chance for a title shot. You know, I think Lauren Murphy has a really good jab. You know, she has really good striking. And again, she has strength. You know, once she gets on the inside, she can really like control her body and really work those takedown, the takedown defense pretty good. But I think going against somebody like Cynthia Calvillo, I think that she has that level to get Lauren Murphy to the ground and make it a rough and ugly fight. And I think that she has a battle of the jabs, almost like Lauren Murphy versus Andrea Lee. You know, that was a controversial win for Lauren Murphy, but I think this kind of come down to a good battle of striking, you know, who has the better striking, who can get off first. And if it gets to the ground, I would have to early on favor Cynthia Calvillo, you know, the younger, fresher fighter. But yeah, Cynthia Calvillo overall, man, I think she has some pretty good boxing. You know, she has solid wins over, you know, Joanne Calderwood, Pearl Gonzalez, Pollyanna Buteo, you know, all these different looks. She's outboxed fighters. She's submitted fighters. So she has the potential to be a threat to Valentina. I know that a lot of people are going to disagree with me right away, but I think if Cynthia Calvillo is able to dominate somebody like Lauren Murphy the way she did Jessica Eye, and then fights maybe a Caitlin Chikagian, and then maybe fight somebody like Jillian Robertson again. Like I said, there really should be no rush with Cynthia Calvillo. I say, like, if she fights maybe three more fights and just looks really dominant, or maybe two more dominant wins, then that'll start kind of opening the eyes of the fans to say, oh, man, this would be a good fight, you know, Cynthia Calvillo versus Valentina Shevchenko, you know. So I think I'm going to take at least maybe three more fights to see what she can really do, like, as far as just being more well-rounded, especially in this division, to kind of really, really get used to this strength, flyweight strength and, you know, flyweight power to see what type of threat she could be to Valentina. But Lauren Murphy, I know for her, if she's able to come away with a win, you know, close win, dominant win, either way from here, I know that's probably going to push Lauren Murphy to a title shot next. You know, of course, Valentina has Jennifer Maya next on November 21st. So once that fight goes down, then I think that'll probably lead to a title shot if Lauren Murphy beats Cynthia Calvillo. But yeah, let me know in the comment section what you guys think of this fight. I think it's gonna be a good one, man. I think it's gonna be a good flyweight matchup. And October 24th. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, let me make sure. Yeah, October 24th, that one's going down. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section on that one. All right, y'all. And next topic, just did my prediction and breakdown for this fight. DC, Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier, the rubber match. They're about to close the chapter to a very, very good rivalry here. Like I said, man, last time out looking at both fights, you know, I just saw a lot of good work from DC, you know, able to use a lot of tools in this fight. I think that Stipe Miocic really had his hands full in both fights. Of course, in the first fight, you know, that one ended in the first round. But in that second fight, there was a lot of things that DC was doing that was just kind of leading to him being able to close the show again, or maybe just win a dominant decision. But Stipe capitalized on DC losing his focus, getting fatigued in that third round, and he made that one minor adjustment, that beautiful left hook to the body, consistently landing that left hook to the body until finally setting up that knockout, that right hand up top to drop DC in that fourth round. So I think that going into this one, it's going to be just as tough. It's going to be another tough fight for Stipe and for DC, for the fact that I think that, you know, DC looked at the tape, you know, he looked at the second fight and said, man, like, the only thing that messed me up from this win is myself. You know, of course, that's the one thing people forget. Your own worst enemy in a fight is yourself, you know, and that's what I said when I saw the fight the very first time when it happened. And then when I watched it again, just a little while ago, I said, damn, DC, I was like, you losing it here, man. I was like, you losing it. It's not like you losing rounds because Stipe's stepping his game up for real. It was just you started losing focus. You started getting tired. You started taking more hits. You constantly letting, like, Stipe just, like, close in and hit you with these shots to the head. And then he just started finding that home with the left hook to the body. I was just like, damn, man. I was just like, he's just, like, letting it go. Then finally, I was like, he's going to get knocked out. And then, sure enough, he got knocked out, you know, in that fourth round. So I think that DC is just going to go back really and look at that part, because as far as being, you know, his technical skill, I think that DC had everything he needed to beat somebody like Stipe. You know, he had perfect game plan for beating a taller, longer fighter. You know, he was able to impose his strength, impose his power, impose his boxing skill on Stipe first fight, three rounds of the second fight. It was just the battle with himself where he lost focus and he lost that energy. So that was whenever he just let the whole fight slip. But I think going into this one here, man, like, Stipe knows what he's up against, and he knows that he's going to have to start early. You know, he can't let DC get set into that rhythm. He has to remember that he's the heavyweight champion. He was a former champion with the most title defenses. He's the longer, taller fighter here. He has to remember that. You know, he's got the longer jab, and he has the more technical striking for heavyweight. You know, he's beat Francis Ngannou. You know, he's beat some of the top guys in here just by taking him apart and knocking him out. So you got to go in there and pose that heavyweight size. But one thing I said about my prediction video is, if Stipe is not first and he's not keeping his distance, then he's going to lose another fight. You know, because DC's being first. He's going in there to capitalize. He said, if you're not letting your hands go, I'm finding my home for these shots. I'm finding that sweet spot. I'm going to keep constantly hitting you with these shots to the head until I knock you out of there. You know, so Stipe, he's the one that really has to go and do his homework. I think, like I said, for DC, it's for DC to just say, hey, I got to make sure my stamina is up. I can't, you know, overexert myself. You know, I'm 41. I got to fight more to rhythm. You know, it's more so him fighting at a good pace, where I think Stipe has to go back and look at some technical things where he says, okay, I gotta be able to stop DC from coming in and taking me down. I got to get my jab going. I got to start get used to fight at my range against this shorter fighter who keeps imposing himself on me. So it's going to be a good, I think it's just going to be a good overall fight where there's going to be adjustments made from Stipe early in the you know, in the first rounds. But I think that somebody like DC is going to get settled. He's going to start fighting more of the rhythm where he's going to pick his rounds to box. He's going to pick his rounds to wrestle. And he's going to have to look at the body language of Stipe of when to do this. You know, you just can't go over there and overexert yourself and try to get and try to take Stipe down if you're not getting a full-on reaction out of him. You know, if the jabs, if you don't see like Stipe blinking or like not looking confused or if he's not bloody, then that's not a time to really just go jump in there and try to take him down, if you know what I mean. Like, you just can't go in and take him down if he's still looking fresh, because you're going to overexert yourself trying to take down the taller, bigger man, you know. So it's going to come down to DC just trying to, you know, pace himself out this time and fight more so like the champion he is, you know. Don't overexert himself and don't fatigue. So, yeah, with that being said, I did my my prediction video on it. Go watch the prediction video. I gave my prediction, my full-on prediction. So, yeah. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this episode, y'all. Like I said, I just kind of want to go back and give y'all a some news on Invicta FC 42 card coming up. My thoughts on Paige VanZant going to bare knuckle boxing. You know, not something I'm a fan of for her, you know, because like I said, she just needs to find that line and that acceptance where, you know, she is that girl. You know, she's a seems like a sweet person, you know, inside and out. So if that's what she wants to just be at this point, you know, just accept that and say, okay, I'm cool with just being with a model now. You know, ain't nobody else to prove. You got a heart to, you know, to say, oh, okay, I got to prove, I got to go in there and get myself beat up and busted up, get my ass kicked to say I'm always this tough girl too. You know, there comes a line with that, you know, like I've known some girls around the way that are pretty, but they can scrap, but they only scrap when they have to, you know, they're not looking for fights. You know, they only do that when they have to. But and again, man, good strawweight fights coming up. Also, let me know what y'all think about Stipe versus DC, which way is this going to go? Or just comment on my breakdown prediction when I finish uploading that. So, yeah, man, make sure y'all subscribe here on Combo Breaker 99, the YouTube channel. And like I said, I'm actually going to start posting these podcast episodes on a platform, you know, like iTunes and such, like I do with the Jab podcast, my boxing podcast. But, yeah, follow me here on Instagram at Combo Breaker 99 and at All Box and everything. And yeah, y'all, I see y'all after fight night, you know, with my post fight reactions. And yeah, man, like always, I'm Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Peace.